Tell me, how many of you enjoy driving on our roads? There's a lot of hesitation. Because it's like, oh, the roads could be a lot better. Well, our roads are really good. I'll let you know that. Even the worst conditioned road in our society, in our city, is far better than one in the third world nation. When I went on a little missions trip over to into Africa, what was the place I went to in Africa?
Guinea.
We are in the town of Conakry. I shouldn't say town, it's a city of 3 million people. And we had to travel from Conakry to a little town called Mamou. And it was a short trip of about 120 kilometers. But it took 8 hours to get there. You want to know why? Because of the roads. It was construction season like it is in Canada in the summertime. And so, you know how we do it here is the guys work on a certain section of road and they'll dig it up and they'll pave it and they'll fill it and pave it, just like what's happening out on Black Gold Drive during this summer. Well, in Guinea, the way they do construction work is on the highway from Guinea, from Conakry to Mamou, instead of working in sections, they do the whole road at once. So you know what that means? So at the beginning of construction season, they dig up all the holes. And it's not until the end of construction season that they fill them all. So when your missionary, when your person overseas says to you, pray for us because we're traveling to Conakry, you don't understand what they're asking you to pray for until you're there. Because it's okay you avoiding the potholes on your side, but the person coming the other way is doing the same thing. So you're avoiding potholes on both sides, and that's where the accidents happen. And especially at night. 120 kilometers took us 8 hours to get there, and you never got out of third gear. It's not like on our Queenie 2 where we can go 110. Yeah, more like 120. 130. Or if you're late for a show in Calgary that you thought you booked in Edmonton, and it's a Christmas show, and your wife tells you, we got a half hour to get on the road to make the show, you go 140. With permission, guys, with permission. Our roads are nothing compared to over in Guinea. Why do we talk about a highway? Because when we read through Scripture, and particularly in the book of Isaiah, we see the redeemed highway. We see people that have already begun to lose their way. That God came and saved from Egypt and took them into the promised land, and they've been established there for a little bit, and they chased after human kings instead of the divine king himself. They started to deviate off the highway. They started putting potholes in their own highway that God said, do this, follow this way, and everything will be fine. Remain in my covenant, and I will remain with you. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And all the people said, amen, yes, we will be your people and you will be our God. But then what enters? Human pride, human compulsion, human lust for power, for property, for sexuality. And that's where we find ourselves in Isaiah. We find ourselves in a society that is pursuing all the depravity that we see in our society today. The more things change, the more they stay the same. What Isaiah came into is what we are living today. And he comes with a message of hope and judgment. So we read in Isaiah chapter 7 this morning is where we are. We read this story. This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Rezin, king of Aram, or Syria, along with Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, or Ephraim, waged war against Jerusalem. But he could not succeed. When it became known to the house of David that Aram had occupied Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of the people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out with your son Sher-Jashub, meaning a remnant shall return. Go with your son Sher-Jashub to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the fuller's field. Say to him, calm down and be quiet. Don't be afraid or faint-hearted because of these two smoldering stubs of firebrands, Rezin of Aram and the son of Remaliah. For Aram along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has plotted harm against you. They say, let's go up against Judah, terrorize it, and conquer it for ourselves. Then we can install Tabeel's son as king in it. This is what the Lord God says. It will not happen. It will not occur. The head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim, Israel, will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. If we do not stand firm in our faith, God says, we will not stand at all. See, the situation we read about in Isaiah is a political situation. It's a situation that a king is in trouble. He's got adversaries facing him, and he needs to do something about it. And so instead of trusting what the Lord has said to him, King Ahaz decides to entertain an alliance with the king of Assyria, Tilgath-Pileser, or Tigath, how do you pronounce that? Tigath-Pileser. The issue in this story is, can the Lord be trusted to do what he says? That seems to be the issue in every account that we read of in Scripture. Can the Lord be trusted to do what he says? Can you trust this book? Many have said today that you can't trust this book because it's been revised, it's been transformed. It isn't what it used to be. But I say, that's not true. Because God's promise says that what? It stays the same. It remains the same. It is fully trustworthy, fully dependable. With it, you can raise your family. With it, you can run your business. With it, you can remain in covenant with your God. You can bank your finances on it. Ahaz, he's facing a predicament. Do I join with the king of Aram and the king of Israel in standing against the king of Assyria? See, these two firebrands, these two kings are worried about their own skin. Ephraim, a long time ago, Israel, foregoed the way of God. And so now judgment is coming down on Israel. And Isaiah says it again to King Ahaz. He says, in 65 years, Ephraim, Israel, is no longer going to exist. Because of why? Because they didn't trust what the Lord said. They didn't follow him. And so Ahaz has this decision to make. Do I trust in faith God, or do I go my own way? How many of us have faced that decision in our lives? Do I go God's way, or do I take care of things, matters, myself? I needed a car. We're in desperate situation. I'm in Regina. I go and I fall in love with a Chevy Eurosport. I've shared this story before. It's the car that I wanted as I was a kid. I saw this thing. I thought it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Thing, not person. And so I go and I bring my father-in-law with me to go inspect this car. Figure I'm doing everything that I should be doing. I didn't know as much as I do now, which is very little still. That's why when I go look for a car, I bring someone like Benny with me or James. And I buy this car. I bring it home. Driving around with it, it's not producing heat. Got a cracked block. Engine number one. I get that replaced, replace all the stuff on it, start driving it, right? And it becomes wintertime, and there's a light on my dashboard. Men, women, children. When there's a light on your dashboard, you pay attention. Especially if it has an oil container on it. It was on there for like probably 2 weeks. We get a minus 40 degree storm. I'm late for work. I start the car. The car starts fine. Everything's going well. I get in the car. I'm going off to work. And it seizes off the off-ramp onto the ring road in Regina. In minus 40 in Regina. Engine number two. I replace that. We get engine number three in the car. And my wife Jackie at that time, she's driving the car, and she gets smacked in the intersection. Car number three. Engine number three is gone. The car is written off. I paid $5,800 for that car 3 years ago. I got $5,800 at the end of the 3 years. back. What I learned out of that? Never buy a Chevy Eurosport. But always bring it back to God. God, do you want me to have this? Lord, I need to take care of this because, you know, you're not coming through. You're not coming through in my timeline. So I buy the car and I learn a lesson. Now the key is, you have the lesson, did you learn from it? Did you apply it? Because those lessons tend to come back in circles, right? In different situations. King Ahaz has faced these two kings before, facing the same situation. Assyria is exercising its power and strength. These two kings are worried. They come to Judah. They come to King Ahaz. They go, will you join us in alliance so that we can push back against the king of Assyria? What does Ahaz say? No. So what do? They attack him. Thwarted back. They come back. They're doing it again. What does Ahaz do? Does he stand with God? No. Because he has a secret alliance with the king of Assyria. He goes to the king of Assyria and says, I will give you the silver and gold out of the Lord's temple and out of the king's palace if you will fight the king of Assyria back. The king of Assyria, what does he think? He says, that's a good deal. So he takes the gold and the silver from the Lord's temple and from the king's palace, and he defeats the king of Syria. He defeats Rezin. What do you think happens? Well, why should I stop there? I'm going to go forward and I'm going to take Jerusalem. I'm going to take Judah. And this is the trouble that Ahaz faces when we come upon him. This is where the Emmanuel prophecy is given. Can the Lord be trusted to do what he says he will do? Ahaz says no. Here's a breakdown of chapter 7 of Isaiah. The house of David is threatened. King Ahaz represents the house of David. He represents King David's throne that's been promised from the very beginning by God. That there is going to be a Messiah. There's going to be a Savior King come from your line. But the house of David is threatened. So much so that the people are shaking like willows of a tree. Ahaz, instead of looking to God, looks to the king of Assyria. Isaiah's son, the plans of the northern powers, they will be defeated. The Lord's assurance, it will happen. Trust me. The middle of it, the main point of it, is the response of unbelief that Ahaz gives. When he's confronted with, will you ask for a sign? Will you ask for a sign that the Lord is trustworthy, that the Lord will respond, that the Lord is in your court? Will you ask for that sign? And what does King Ahaz say? King Ahaz replied, I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. He sounds rather pious, doesn't he? Sounds like that's the religious answer to give. Because you should not test the Lord. But it's an excuse. Because Isaiah wants him to ask the Lord for a sign, because the Lord wants to give him a sign. He wants to say everything is going to be all right. He cares for Ahaz, but more than that, God cares for Judah, its people. The king represents the people. The king is a reflection of the people's heart. The response is, I don't want to believe. What does Isaiah say? Listen, house of David. He doesn't say, listen, King Ahaz. He says, listen, house of David. Who do you represent? You represent the potential, the line of the Messiah. Ahaz does not care. Is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Interesting phraseology. He doesn't say of your God, because God is not Ahaz's God anymore. When he makes the alliance with Tilgath-Pileser from Assyria, he meets him after the battle in Damascus, after Syria is defeated, the king of Rezin, and he looks at the altar in Damascus and says, wow, I like that. Look at that God. And he has his priest, Uriah, build the same copy of that altar and build it back home in Judah. What is he declaring? We're going to follow that God. That's our God. So Isaiah says, my God. Why also do you try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Whether you like it or not, the Lord will give you a sign. Whether we want to see it or not. Whether we want to hear it or not. I guess there's some comfort in that. That when we don't want anything to do with God, we don't want to hear from him, he's still going to give us a sign. It's a matter of our response. How will we respond? The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Are you getting the picture yet, Ahaz? God wants to be with you. And he's giving you a sign that the Messiah who is to come, Emmanuel, is God with us. God wants to be with you still, even though you respond with disbelief, unbelief, and you don't want the goodwill of God. The key word in there, key phrase that happens in there is this: be careful to do nothing. Have you ever had your parents say that to you? Be careful to do nothing. Think about it. I never had my parents say, be careful to do nothing. See, that comes from the verse 4. Some of you may have a different reading, but this is what it means. Say to him, calm down and be quiet. Well, why don't you just say, calm down and be quiet? Because the phraseology in Hebrew is, be careful to do nothing. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to stand firm in your faith, because if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all, Ahaz. You will not stand at all, Judah. we will not stand at all, Leduc Alliance Church. When you are confronted with evil, you don't battle evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. Our Savior taught us that. But Ahaz decides, I'm going to overcome evil with evil, and I'm going to make an alliance with my enemy, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. What's he practicing? Power politics. We do it all the time in the world. Our world leaders do it all the time. They practice power politics. They push a little bit here. They make an alliance over here and to push this guy a little bit over here and that kind of stuff. All these deals happen behind the scenes. But God says, when you are tempted to overcome evil with evil, do nothing. And wait upon me to answer. When faced with firebrands of trouble, who or what do you or I align ourselves with? Who do we align ourselves with? What's a firebrand? It's a smoldering piece of wood. Smoldering. It's not on fire. It's that piece of wood that's just going out. Okay? And God says, don't worry about that firebrand, those two firebrands. Those things are going out. And he said, in 65 years, Israel will no longer exist. The northern kingdom. What firebrands are you facing? What trouble are we facing? Who am I aligning myself with? What am I aligning myself with? The Lord's answer, be careful to do nothing, align yourself with me. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Throughout history, past, present, and future, man faces this exact scenario. Human purposes challenging divine promises. Throughout history, from this day forward, we will face the same thing. Human purposes challenging divine promises. The promises of God. As much as man tries to silence the word of God, the people of God, God says the rocks will cry out if you try that. He says, my son is going to return. No matter what you say or do to the church today, if you try to silence the church, try to put them in hiding, my son is still going to return. And he's still going to be faithful. When we lose sight of God, we lose sight of his promises. And that's when death comes upon us. This nation has lost sight of God. Therefore, we're challenging his divine promises. And this nation is dying as a result. The question is, what about me? Do my actions, my plans, my life challenge the divine promises of God? Do they go, God, prove it to me? Or do I say, God, show me? I believe in you. I have faith in you. This whole situation is about faith and trusting God. Human plans and purposes will always fall to divine promises and purposes of God. Always. You can bank my bank on that. Always. Even when we think that that's not the case, he always comes through. How many years between the prophecy of Isaiah and Mary and Joseph? At least 400 years. Because there was 400 years of silence in between the two testamental periods that we have recorded. It took 400 years, at least 400 years, for the promise of a divine Savior to be delivered to deliver his people. Can you and I wait that long? In amongst COVID, in amongst all the stuff that's happening today, can we wait for the advent of Christ? Well, I don't know if I can. The Lord will give you the strength to do so if you keep your eyes on him. He is faithful. He will see us through. This is what the Lord says. It will not happen. It will not occur. The head of Aram is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Above all things, in facing everything that we see, God says, hold on to your faith. Practice it. Engage. Share Jashub, a remnant will return. See, God's speaking here in the Emmanuel prophecy, and when he approaches Ahaz, his two sons, Isaiah's two sons, are a physical sign to the people to remind them of what God has said. So every morning, every time that they would walk into the center of the community, they would go to church, they would see Jashub, and they would see Mayor. I'm not going any further than that. They would see Sher Jashub, and they would see Mayor, and they would be reminded of the decision that each person has to decide. Will I have faith in God that a remnant will return? Or do I embrace judgment? Do I bring judgment upon me, which is speed, spoil, haste, and booty, is what Mayor's name basically means. Can you imagine walking and coming to church every day and seeing those two children, those two sons in your presence, knowing what their names mean? And the choice that your king made and brought judgment upon you. A lot of this passage is about names. Isaiah or Emmanuel means God with us. Sher Jashub, a remnant will return. Mayor, speed, spoil, haste, booty, destruction, war, judgment. And Isaiah means what? Jehovah is salvation. The whole book is about salvation. That's why we have this great story, this great account, the Emmanuel prophecy, the books of Emmanuel from chapter 7 to chapter 11 in Isaiah. Because Isaiah is all about salvation and the coming salvation of Jesus Christ. Do I refuse to believe in the goodwill of God? Do I refuse to allow God to be the deity in my life? Ahaz refused to allow God to be deity in his life. He refused to give him room to make decisions. Do I do so? My family, my finances, my job, my holiday, my vacation. Do I give God the allowance to be deity in my life? Do I risk my life upon his promises? Then the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask for a sign. It will be given. Be a virgin with a babe. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, a A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness, Isaiah 9:2. Do we see the light? Church, we are the light. We are the light in the land of darkness. And if we, the light, cover ourselves up, we are of no use. He says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for? He says, nothing. Be light, be salt in darkness. Luke 1:67-71. It's the story that we read at Christmas. The story of Zechariah and of John who had come before Christ. But here we read, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. Ahaz represented the throne of David. He was the last king, or I should say the first king, in that line of uselessness. Because after that, we see what happens. Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. They all take ownership of Judah. They all rule as foreign rulers in the promised land of God. Because Ahaz refused to believe the word of God. If you do not stand in faith, you will not stand at all. But God doesn't leave us there. He didn't leave David's line there. He said, I'm still going to provide the Messiah. Even though we have this line of puppet kings in place who do not believe, I will still come. He will still come. Advent, the second advent, is still on the way. Remain in a posture to receive him, to believe in him. Don't lose hope. Don't be an Ahaz. That story has not disappeared from me. Because one Christmas years and years ago, I taught the same story. Not this story, but something similar. Don't be an Ahaz. King Ahaz believed in anything when he ceased to believe in God. When we stop believing in God, we'll believe in anything. Right? Do you honestly believe in God for everything? Is he allowed to be the divine light in my life? The consequences of being in Ahaz? A whole nation came under judgment and death. Idolatry arose and gripped the hearts of the people. Judah was taken into captivity. And Messiah would be born into the people's poverty. He would be heir to a meaningless throne in a conquered land. That was the consequences of Ahaz's decision. He who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. What's the proverbian talking about there? It's talking about wisdom. Who is the source of all wisdom? God. He who misses God harms himself. He who hates God loves death. Will I stand with God in faith or fall because of unbelief? Be careful to do nothing. But regardless of this, the sign remains and the highway for the remnant stays intact. Amen.